the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
You have a kitty and you like butterflies?
Yes.
Are there butterflies out in your yard where you live? There's some out in mine.
No, I don't really get butterflies. The reason I like butterflies so well is they symbolize the evolution into a beautiful thing from a creepy, crawly little insect into this beautiful butterfly.
Exactly. They metamorphosize and they go into a cocoon.
Yep,
yeah. They go into a cocoon. I used to collect butterflies as a kid. I used to absolutely love them. Oh yeah, I had a butterfly farm. And I love how they, you know, how they flutter their wings, and it's just a beautiful transition. And you are a beautiful transition, and you are flourished. I'm so happy to have you here on the Edge with me. Right here, Brains, you're back home. You see that? You're back at the spot. Where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Look who we got today. Carolyn C.J. Jones. Oh, yes. Yes, and with an incredible story. She's a photographer. She's an author. She's a woman that is going through recovery. She has got some beautiful books and some stories about her travel. I can't wait to share her story, and I'm so glad to have you here. I really am.
So, thank you, April. I am so glad to be here. I'm really excited.
Well, you know, me and the Brains, we wanted to welcome you and just kind of have a really relaxed conversation. You know, I put on my sun hat. It's nice and warm. So tell us a little bit about you, CJ.
CJ Jones. Carolyn CJ Jones became an entity when I wrote my first book in 2010. Because you see, I was told I needed a platform, that I needed to be found on the internet. So I searched for myself, Carolyn Jones, and I got 25 and more pages of Carolyn Jones, the actress. I could never compete with that. So I knew I needed a nickname. Pardon me. I reverted to the nickname my high school buddy gave me when I was a lead in the high school musical, and I stole the show every night, and I hemmed it up. She named me the original Cracker Jack.
Uh-huh.
That is what CJ stands for.
Cracker.
And that I added as my professional name, so it's my professional author name now. Carolyn Cracker Jack Jones.
So you've acted many things, and so tell us a little bit about your acting career.
It was pretty short-lived. Well, actually, this was somewhat of a miracle. You know, I always loved musicals in high school, and I played the violin in the pit orchestras. Well, I always wanted to be on the stage. I lusted after the stage.
Wow.
Well, I guess I was an offshoot of my namesake, right?
Absolutely. So yeah. You acted in many ways, but sometimes life causes us to act a fool. Tell us a little bit about your challenges.
My biggest challenge was my childhood. It was very difficult. I came from a large family. There are six of us. I'm second oldest, the peacemaker. And I left my home to go to college, and I was filled with worthlessness, shame, lack of confidence, lack of esteem. Actually, my self-esteem was pretty much in the toilet.
Wow. What caused that? I mean, was it just because the pecking order? You know, sometimes in families when there's a lot of children, parents do the very best they can to disseminate the love equally. But as being the older, you're responsible for some of the younger ones and taking on that responsibility, but also your life is kind of being submerged. So what challenges did that cause you?
Well, because the input was very abusive verbally and emotionally and psychologically, I had the challenge of feeling like I was a worthwhile person, and I've struggled with that throughout my whole life. I also was called fat, stupid, and ugly for a great portion of my life and as a child, and I've always considered that I'm fat, and I don't think I'm ugly, but stupid, I've had a hard time with. So I have gotten beyond that.
Wow. It's that conversation that rattles around in our brain.
Yeah.
You know, it's that neuro-linguistic programming. And a lot of times people think that that is conversations that we're having with ourselves, but this has really been embedded into us. So as you progress, did this lead you into, you know, risky behaviors?
Absolutely. I went to college at Kent State in Ohio.
Ohio, Kent State, yes.
Yes.
I
should show you my Kent State mask.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a revolutionary college right there. There's been some upheavals there in Ohio at that college.
And I went the fall right after the spring when that upheaval occurred. Mm. And we were a tank campus. Tanks were rolling on the campus.
Oh.
It was terrifying.
Mm.
I begged to come home. I'll go to Ohio State and live at home, anything. Mm. Take me out of here. And they wouldn't let me. They wanted me to fulfill my commitment.
Wow. Which
was a good lesson to learn.
Was that a commitment?
How I responded was by finding out what everyone was, what all the tanks were about, and what all the hoopla was. And a long story short, I became a protester against Vietnam.
Wow. And you know, again, my generation, I was just now on the cusp of that. I was telling people in my other show that I was trampled in the Watts riots as a child with my parents in the park. Oh, yes.
No.
Yes, girl, I got a taste of that tear gas and people trampling over me and losing grip of my mother's hands and the screaming and the hollering. I had no idea. So I, to this day, am traumatized in big crowds.
Yes.
And so you fought against...
I'm sorry?
I said, so you fought against the establishment, bravo, when it came to Vietnam. But it seems like there's a war going on right now. There's a civil war of racial discrimination, you know, and people really just don't get that. They don't get that this is within our own country against our own brothers and sisters. This is something that we haven't seen before.
I know.
How is that resonating with you?
I don't understand the hate that some people have for people of color, for African American, for Latinos, for Asian people. I don't get it. It's beyond my comprehension how people can hate that much. What's under that must be an awful lot of fear.
It is fear, and it's an awful lot of shame because they have to identify with how they have contributed. And I'm not speaking third person. We've all contributed to it in some form or fashion.
Yeah.
We've done it. And so what we have to do is take a step back, identify, sit with it, and move forward.
Yes.
So with that, you have dedicated your life to love, forgiveness, and peace. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I spent 30 adult years as a very angry, bitter, blaming victim. All over my childhood, I drank and drugged over that for those 30 years until I crashed and burned. At 4 years sober, I got sober, and at 4 years, I discovered a way to forgive my past. And with that came immediate and immense peace and freedom. And I want to share that with people, how that happened for me, so that they too can allow that to happen in their lives. They can make that happen. They can create it to happen.
Let me ask you a question. You're one of a particular age, so have you only been sober like 4 years?
20.
You've been sober 20 years. And so what was your, if you don't mind me sharing, what was your crash and burn? What was your aha moment? And you say, I'm just sick of this shit.
You want me to read it to you out of my book?
Absolutely.
Okay, this is the first two paragraphs.
Okay, so wait. One.
So from my book, The Art of Forgiveness, A Promise of Peace, we have Twinkie copies.
That's right. And we've got a one to raffle off, Brains. So you're going to share with us?
Yes. So here is how I crashed and burned. Chapter one, meltdown. Quote, the deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. Unquote. That's by Khalil Gibran. And it's so true. The beginning. It was a lovely day on the bay. As I sat in the sailboat tethered to the dock, the gentle waves lapped against the hull, music to my ears. I looked forward to sharing some time with a dockmate I had grown to like. Imagine the shock when this person, the love of my life, the soulmate I'd searched for my entire life, blurted out angrily, I don't care for you, not any more than anyone else. I was just being kind. I was mortified. I wanted to vomit.
I don't mean to laugh, but the way you said it, it was like, yeah, I could imagine.
Yeah, if I could have, I would have disappeared through the cockpit floor to be swallowed up by the murky, frigid water below. I couldn't even defend myself from his false accusation that I'd told others we were in a relationship. This was the worst humiliation and shame I'd ever felt, ever. I suddenly realized I had put myself in the middle of a firestorm, one that I created by leaving my dysfunctional alcoholic marriage of 20 years for the man who had just spoken these debilitating and heart-crushing words.
Wow.
Those are the first two paragraphs of my book, The Art of Forgiveness, and what happened after that is I lost it big time. All I could do was drink and cry for 2 months. I couldn't even feed myself.
Wow.
And finally, knowing I was killing myself, that I was dying, actually dying, and I felt that in my gut, that that's where I was headed, I realized after thinking about it a little bit, I didn't want to die. So I was living on a boat at the time, a fishing boat, and I walked to the back of the boat and I threw my hands up toward the heavens and I said, God, if there's a God out there, please help me. I can't do this anymore. That was my anguished cry.
Wow.
And within 3 weeks, I had planned a trip from the Bay Area, I was living in Sausalito, down to San Diego to hook up with my former bartender who was getting sober herself. And we lived together and I went down for a couple weeks to get a handle on my drinking. I stayed a year and a half and got sober.
Wow.
Yeah.
San Diego's a place.
It is. Yes, San Diego's a great place.
Yes, it is. So you went through all of this and you traveled a lot. And through your travels, you created another masterpiece. Now, Brains, I'm going to share this with you, but this was a personal gift to me. This is called Opening the Gates of the Heart, A Journey of Healing. Yes, this is not for raffle. When I opened this up, it was pristinely wrapped in bubble wrap. But these are gates that she's taken a picture of, and from all over the world. And I couldn't imagine how that could resonate. This is one of my favorites, and I'd like to read it and share it with you. Take a look at this, Brains. Let me take my time. You see this gate? It says, growth of character. Now, I want you to pay attention to what she's saying here. Do we notice the character of another? Do we recognize the traits and qualities of another? Grown over time on the walls of one's being. Do we notice our own character evolve over time on our own beautiful walls? Do we groom the moss and mold, encouraging new growth to flourish? Do you do that, Brains? Do you look deep inside yourself? And also, do you look deep inside somebody else, not just on the surface? We've all got moss. We've all got mold. We've all got fungus.
Yeah.
You know? And to go and to look at these different gates and to find such beauty in a work of brick and mortar or iron or clay or straw was very, very unique. What was the thought process behind creating this great piece of literary beauty?
Wow, thank you for those accolades. I love that book.
I love it too.
Can I tell you the story of how it was created?
Yes.
Okay. It's February 2001. I'm sitting in the cockpit of my sailboat where I used to live with my now ex-husband, looking at the shore across the bay, Richardson Bay, at Belvedere, and I thought, I've never visited there. I'm leaving the Bay Area and will never be back. So I'm going to go see what Belvedere is all about. I went, saw these beautiful unused gates sitting at the base of properties, you know, at the base of hills. And I fell in love with them. I vowed if I ever returned to the area that I would photograph them because I'd been with a camera around my neck since the age of 10. I did return in 2004 and I started photographing them. But what happened from 2001 to 2004 was I started journaling because the thoughts that were coming up for me and the anger over my upbringing and the grief over the unrequited love, I couldn't contain myself and I had to write. But the thing was, I had hurt my right hand, which is my dominant writing hand, in a fall at work and I needed wrist reconstruction surgery. So it was too painful to write with it. So I started printing, because it's easier, with my non-dominant hand. At first it was pretty rocky and I could barely read it and it was very slow going. But with time and practice, I got pretty fluent with my left-handed writing. But the point is, out flowed these incredible words and they just flowed onto the page. I don't know how many times, April, I stopped to say, where in the world did that come from?
Wow.
That's not me, but it was me. When I was writing my book, The Art of Forgiveness, I stumbled across, I guess it was a magazine article, maybe a book, that said that when we, I forget where I was going with this. I'm so sorry.
Take your time. I can edit.
What was I just saying?
You were talking about you ran across a article.
What was I saying before that?
An article that had something to do with your writing and how these poetic words came out. Okay,
okay.
So
So I'll go ahead. I ran across this article, and what it said was, when we write with our dominant hand, it lights up a half of our brain, the opposite side. And when we write with our non-dominant hand, it lights up the whole brain. And so our ability to be creative greatly increases. And that's what happened. You know that 3/4 of the verses in the book come from my journals verbatim.
Wow.
And I hadn't even really studied the gates yet. But in 2004, that was in March of 2004, February and March, that I photographed them. And then in November of 2004, I was busy titling my photos that I was gonna sell at art galleries. And I named one Webs of Fear. Didn't think too much of it. And then a couple weeks later, I wrote this verse and I said, in my journaling, I said, I have spent a lifetime spinning webs of terror and shame between the spires that stand as sentinels to my heart. I was amazed because it gave voice to the photo webs of fear.
Right.
And I realized, well, it made me wonder how many other verses in my book would match up with the photos. So I went through all my journals. I had like 10 of them by that time. And I figured out that I found lots that described and gave voice to various gates.
Wow.
I'd like to read my...
It did, because I go through them, and, you know, I was out on my patio, and I wanted to just immerse myself. I wanted to take my time. I wanted to resonate with each page and really take in the detail, you know, really embrace what you took your time to capture, not only in words, but on film. It's so important that, again, we slow down and we take our time to love and to forgive and to find peace. And not only have you done that through gates and through your journals and also through your book, but through your wisdom, you know, and what you've learned, not just the last 20 years, but if you had not experienced what you experienced, the trauma, you would not be the woman that you are today. And
you're
so
exactly right.
You have to, you know, we have to own it. We have to sit with it. It's ours. It is a part of our story. You know, and there's a lot of people that are going to listen to this interview, and they're going to stop and they're going to pause and they're going to think about what they did and what they're doing. And maybe they're going to grab a journal and they're going to write down their thoughts, or maybe they're going to grab a canvas or a camera and capture those thoughts. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, how to purchase one of these beautiful works of art, or purchase your book.
The easiest and best way is to go directly to my website, which is carolync.j.jones.com. So carolync.j.jones.com. Go to the books tab, and under that you'll find the Gates book and the Forgiveness book. Now, you can order the Forgiveness book from Amazon, and I give you the choice. But if you order it from me, I'll sign it for you and send it back to you. It does cost a little more because it cost me $7 to ship in a bubble wrap. And as far as the Gates book, if you order it from Amazon, they turn around and ask me to send it to them so they can send it to you. So order it directly off my website, and I will sign it for you and send it to you. And again, my website is carolync.j.jones.com.
It's beautiful, and it's the perfect, not just a coffee table book, but it's a great book of inspiration for somebody that just might be going through it or might be settling with it or might be recovering from it. Reigns, really, again, and it was, again, it was a special gift. So I want to show it to you. It was very special, and I have a new appreciation for gates now. When I go past one, I stop. You know, and I used to admire them. Well, I did admire them when I was in China. You know, the walls and the gates, because the different notches and what they meant, and, you know, the color of the doors, all of that. So they are very symbolic. They are very symbolic, you know. But gates are not only to keep people out, but they swing open to let people in. And I want to thank you so much for being here on the edge with me and my brains today and letting us in the chapters and the book of your life. You are a real crackerjack. With a prize inside. Yes, you are. Thank you so much for being here on The Edge. Come back. Keep us informed on what's going on. Brains, I need you. Yes, you, to go in and subscribe. Be a subscriber to this YouTube channel. Okay? Share this interview with your friends. This is inspiration. We all need love and joy right now. We're going through a tenuous time. You know, our nerves are just right there at the edge. So thank you, CJ. Come back and see me again anytime, love.
Thank you so much, April, for having me on. This was delightful.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, brains. Have a good day, and may your wings flutter like a butterfly. Bye.